Should taxis be allowed in bus lanes? What do you think of these bus lanes, full stop? Well, there's currently a trial period that's been running for the last 12 weeks, which permits taxis to use bus lanes on the East and West Belfast rapid transit routes. It's due to end this weekend. Now, Belfast City Councillors have passed a motion in favour of permitting all taxis to use bus lanes for an additional 6 months. The council will now write an official letter of support to the Department for Infrastructure. The commentator, Newton Emerson, with us this morning, as is the Belfast Taxi Group member, William McCausland. Good morning, Newton.
Good morning.
Good morning. And William, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Well, you could sound a little bit more happy, Mr. McCausland. You've got your way.
I haven't got my way yet. Not until all taxis are allowed in all the bus lanes in Belfast. But we're moving forward and we're getting support from all quarters. We've got support from the four Belfast MPs. We've got support from the council. And we also have, believe it or believe it not, support from Michelle and Arlene. So we're going well. If the Westminster could get the sort of support we're getting, would be moving forward very quickly in this country.
Newton?
Yes, it is a remarkable lobbying effort that the taxi industry has mounted. They've managed to overturn the policy of the previous Sinn Féin minister, Chris Hazard. All the expert consultants' reports that were performed on this issue by the Department of Infrastructure, and it appears to have completely sabotaged the Belfast rapid transit system from its outset. That seems to be the target of this. That's a very unusual feature of the taxi trial, the surprise trial announced earlier this year, but of the 12 metro bus routes in Belfast, it targeted only the two that will be used for BRT plus the city centre loop that connects them. And the specific point of BRT is that it will have higher quality bus routes than the rest of the bus network. TransLink based its business case on the fact that it wouldn't have to share them with taxis. So suddenly there are taxis specifically targeted at those lanes and aims to open the whole network, including the BRT routes, to taxis. It just looks like a very deliberate attempt to compromise the own first investment, proper investment in public transport Belfast has seen in generations.
Ooh, how do you respond to that, William?
Well, I'm not picking up off the floor first. It was some effort there made. No, well, there was no deliberate targeting of the BRT. We wanted to do all the lanes. It was the minister that decided that those were the lanes that he was going to offer to us for a trial. We didn't specifically asked for any particular lanes. We asked for to be allowed into them all, which has always been our view. So it was just happened to be those lanes that was offered to us by the department.
But the bottom line is, William, if the aim is to get more people on the buses, then those buses need to be flowing really, really quickly, faster than private transport, because that's the incentive. You get on a bus, it'll be effortless driving into work or getting into work, should I say. So But that's not going to happen if those lanes are clogged up with taxis.
They're not clogged up with taxis. I mean,
many taxis does your firm have on the road?
We have, at this minute in time, probably about 200. There's 700 in total, but obviously not all the cabs are out. You know, they're spread across 24/7, so you would have maybe 200, 250 maybe at the moment at the very maximum. And you could have, like the other day, we had 15 in Dublin alone. You know, they're all over the country. So, I mean, you know, you can't say the amount. It's the amount that are in the lanes. Go out and look with your eyes and see the evidence.
You can make a calculation on this based on the number of licences and their ability to drive into Belfast. And the assessment is that about 4,000 taxis will have access to the bus lanes if this is allowed.
Having access to a gym and going to the gym doesn't mean the gym's clogged. You know, it's all about the amount of the taxis that are in the lanes, and that's the evidence. People need to go on. What has happened?
Well, evidence of this is what we need. And Mr. McCausland has already issued a statement saying the trial has been a great success with no negative effects whatsoever. But it's not even over yet, let alone has it been assessed. He's also said that jobs have been secured by this experiment. There's no proof of that. We're in a complete absence of evidence here. And Mr. McCausland seems to feel the ability to simply spout off whatever opinion he wants to view without any proof. But there is plenty of research, proper objective assessments, business cases based on investing in the BRT and in new buses that have simply been thrown out the window by this lobbying effort.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a success all over the UK having taxis and bus lanes. I mean, Glasgow, Manchester, Birmingham, Leeds, even down south, Dublin, Cork, Cardiff, Newcastle. You know, that's only a few. I mean, the situation is that, you know, tax are a vitally important part of public transport for all people. They're more, you know, at the end of the day, they're like the third emergency service. It doesn't matter where you are, when it is, or where you want to go to. You can get there in a cab. You know, they do work.
They're like a third emergency service. Are you serious?
This is the level of nonsense that Mr. McCausland is treating us
let's
to.
Let's let him reply to that. But William, they're not a third emergency service, are they?
Okay. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and your child's got his hand, and you don't have a car in the house. What do? You phone a cab. If it's 5 o'clock at night, your car breaks down. Phone a cab. You know. That's what you do. Let's be honest about it. We're there.
And there's no traffic at that time of night, so there's no issue with getting into the bus lanes.
You know, at 5 o'clock at night, of course there is, yes. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter what you need, when you need it. A taxi can get you there or get it for you, bring it to you. We are the third emergency or the fourth emergency service.
This is the level of absolute nonsense we're being treated to. The issue of private versus public transport.
Well, he makes a point. If you don't have a car, what do? If you need to get somewhere quickly, you can't stand and wait at a bus stop.
The issue of public versus private transport that is being promoted by Mr. McCausland is another red herring. The logic of the bus lanes is not about dividing private and public transport, but about getting the best use of road space. That's why taxi buses, black taxis, are allowed to use them. But a private taxi or an ordinary taxi is the least efficient vehicle on the road, less efficient even than a private car, because a private car, when it's on the road, is at least always moving somebody to their destination. A taxi might just be driving around looking for a fare. That's why they're not generally acceptable when you're designing some transport infrastructure like a bus lane. It is the last vehicle you want on the road.
Should there not be a...
So say that to the... say the 100,000 customers that we would move every week, so we're the last vehicle that they want on the road.
You're the last vehicle that you want in a public transport mass access lane.
So let's say that to the 80-year-old woman who cannot get out of her house without the taxi she uses maybe once or twice a week.
Nobody's saying you can't take an old deer to hospital, William. For goodness sake, stop this emotive nonsense. Nobody's saying that. They're saying that you can't sabotage our public transport system because you want to make more money.
No, but what I'm saying is, no, I'm not making it. The thing is that actually phone a cab will not benefit at all from this. It's our drivers that benefit on our customers. I mean, our drivers pay a set rent every week to phone a cab. Therefore, this has absolutely no impact on me personally.
Well, it has a potential impact on you personally, William, that if people are now getting faster, arriving at their destination faster when they use your company, they might be more likely to use your company even more and your taxis even more. So there is an incentive in there.
But more business for the drivers, but not directly for me.
But there also is an incentive for people like you, Newton, to rally against this. I believe you're a keen cyclist, Newton, is that right?
Yes, and I would be very concerned about the, as in fact is the department, with the evidence that taxis and bus lanes discourage cycling and have health and safety effects. The safety aspect of this has not been assessed before the trial, let alone after it. But I am also a driver, and I would use the buses in Belfast quite regularly.
But do you use your bikes in the bus lane?
Hang on, Stephen. I'm hopeful that the BRT system will be developed into a better public transport system for Belfast. All of those things are being scuppered by these two or three large companies and their remarkable, remarkable political clout. In the middle of a political crisis where our two parties can't speak to each other, suddenly both their leaders can write letters to their officials, can propose and second motions in the council. It's very noticeable, let's put it that way.
Do you use your bicycle in the bus lane?
Well, not normally, because it's not been safe enough during the trial period. I use the bikes for the school run, and I'm not happy putting my
But do you support cyclists using a bus lane?
Not the BRT routes. I don't think bicycles should be in the BRT routes.
The point of my question is they slow down traffic too, don't they? If we're trying to get buses along these roads and you're stuck behind a cyclist, that bus isn't going to go too far.
Bus drivers are trained to get around cyclists, but I don't think that cyclists should be in the BRT routes, no.
Here's Paul in Belfast. Morning, Paul.
Good morning. Yes, what my point is about these bus lanes is...
We've just lost Paul. We'll come back to him. Francis Newry. Morning, Francis.
Yes, good morning.
Go ahead, Francis.
Yes, I was making the point of these taxis now going to charge the same fares as buses. And also, I mean, some of the etiquette on the road is ridiculous. then sit beside a parking space, double parked. They won't put the full windlet. They do U-turns in the middle of the road. They pull out whenever they feel like it in front of people. And my experience of them both.
I don't think you can make those broad brush statements about the whole taxi fraternity in Northern Ireland, can you? Paul in Belfast, let's try you again. Go on, Paul.
Yes, who's the guy from the transport division here?
Well, there is no one from the transport division. You've got William McCausland, who's the Belfast Taxi Group member, and you've got the commentator, Newton Emerson, who's objecting to the taxis being able to use these lanes.
Oh, right. Well, this other guy, if he had an appointment for the doctors, does he like to get there on time?
This is you, Newton, he's talking to.
So what? If I had a medical emergency, I'd get a taxi, and if I didn't, I could find my own way somewhere or the other. And this is not a case of banning people going to hospitals or the doctors in a taxi. What sort of nonsense lobbying question is that? You can still get a taxi. The objection is them blocking the new public transport network.
No, the problem is that our NHS is in a financial difficulty. And the big two taxi companies are taking this NHS people from hospital to hospital in emergencies at times. Now, these other people as well are dialysis 7 days a week, and the taxis are here to get these people on time. If these people aren't on time, it could be a life and death situation. And you think that that's a joke?
This is the briefing of the fourth emergency service nonsense that the taxi firms put out to their drivers, and it is simply... It's simply rubbish. There is an emergency service to get people to medical care, and the ambulances.
And Paul,
that's what we have, and everyone else can just get in the ordinary car lanes, as we all do now.
William McCausland, your argument about taxis being a third emergency vehicle, right? If people are going to the hospital or they're stranded. That's your argument, William.
The fourth emergency, I made a mistake, the third. Right.
Okay, the fourth emergency vehicle. Well, let me ask you this question then. With that logic... That look, if you really need to get somewhere quickly, in other words, you're taking someone to a hospital or you're going to visit someone in a hospital or you're going to the doctor, surely that logic should therefore follow into the private motorist. That if they're going to the hospital in their private car or they're going to the doctor in their private car, they should be able to use the bus lane.
Yeah, well, I won't use it as the emergency situation, but certainly if I was taken... You know, my wife's at hospital and it was an emergency. I would be in the bus lane in a private car, and I think everybody else would. I don't think you'd be worried about the law of the land if there's that sort of emergency. All I was just trying to explain was how an important, integral part of the transportation system the taxis are. And I think they're often overlooked by everyone of the job they do. You know, the amount of public money that's poured into public transport, there's nothing whatsoever, you know, put into the taxi industry. At all.
Well, that's because it's a very lucrative private business for people like you. What do you want to do? Make more money?
I'm just saying that the public transport, you know, is continually funded by the government, and yet they're meant to be a private company.
This is just priceless. William, what do you want to do next? Wheel an old deer down the bus lane while crying tears for her plight?
No, not at all. Now, you're trying to make, you know...
I don't need to make you sound like an idiot. You're doing a perfectly good job yourself. The fourth emergency service. Do you need little blue lights on the top of your taxis as well?
No, I don't, but if somebody phones us at 4 a.m. in the emergency, we're there.
If someone has an emergency, they call an ambulance, and if somebody doesn't, they can sit in the taxi in the same traffic as the rest of us.
Back in the real world, we've done many, many programmes. Where you know someone is in between an absolute emergency, but they feel they need to go to the hospital for a checkup. How do they get there? We've done programs on people calling ambulances, and maybe you know there's been a delay in the ambulance getting there.
How about waiving the bus lane fine where that circumstance can be shown, which would be very easy because there'd be a record of a hospital admission. Simple. There you are. We don't need to sabotage our public transport investment to make William a fortune here. Problem solved.
Michael,
there you go.
Morning, Michael.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Michael.
How you doing? Well, I've been involved in this campaign here for the last period of months. I want to point out to Newton there that this isn't just some sort of big two that he keeps coming across with. The drivers that have been represented here by this group of taxis coming together is from east, west, south and north Belfast, right across the city, from all communities, and they've contacted their politicians and they've got their politicians to do represent them. And the drivers' jobs are at risk. maybe it's okay for Newton to, who can cycle into work, who can write his piece for whatever paper he's working at his leisurable own time. That drivers are stuck to their hours. They're out there earning a wage. They're probably the primary earner in each family, and they need to be in these lanes, or else their jobs are affected. Simple as.
Could I answer that, please?
Of course.
Yes, this is another claim that's being made by the campaign, that hundreds of jobs have been safeguarded, again, with no evidence. If we're going to assess that, and I know that officials have been asked, we also need to look at the jobs that will be affected if we compromise our investment in public transport. BRT investment is based on the idea that connecting people in East and West Belfast to the city centre will create jobs, will help them to get to jobs, and all that is going to be compromised if this thing is sabotaged. So if there is any evidence of taxi driver employment being affected, that has to be offset against the damage they'll do by sabotaging our public transport system.
Can I ask that, Stephen?
Yes.
Stephen, listen, see the people who use the customers that we find that we use that don't use public transport. And in fact, William is actually correct in saying about people going to hospital appointments, not just hospital appointments, people going to school. I deal with probably a lot of school runs in the morning where I make sure the drivers get the school runs. I work for a company that gets school runs out for the Belfast Education Labour Board. These kids need to get to school on time. So it's not just a wee...
Right, well, but there's a case in point. Listen to yourself. These kids need to get to school on time. What about the many, many thousands of parents that will be listening to this programme right now? They're paying their taxes. They've paid their tax on their fuel every time they go to a petrol station for their private car. They're also driving their kids to school. Yes. They also are working and need to get their kids to school all time. And you want to be able to whiz past them and with a child in your car while they're sitting in an outside lane in gridlock while you whiz past them and you're both doing the same thing. You're bringing a kid to school and they're bringing their kid to school.
Well, these kids have been designated as needing a priority in a taxi to go to school. So these are vulnerable kids. These are kids that have issues that need to be brought to school. So
but I'm sorry, it comes back to the same argument again. Don't you think parents might be taking some vulnerable kids to school?
Absolutely.
And by the way, some of those kids will also be kids where there's not a bus route or there's not the ability to get them into school on time. Parents face similar circumstances in their private cars.
Absolutely. And the other thing that I would point out...
Well, you say absolutely, but you are going to be whizzing past those parents who are sitting in a lane that you can get into and they can't.
I'm just pointing out that it's not just this one that Newton Amerson is saying about an old deer going to hospital. There's all sorts of different passengers who are reliant on taxis to get to where they need to go. They can't get on public transport for whatever reason. All I'm saying to you is that the taxi industry are providing service that is needed. And again, as William pointed out, this is the norm in other cities.
There's no doubt the taxi industry is providing a service that's needed. I don't think anybody's disputing that. But I think what where the debate is that private motorists are also providing a service that's needed. You know, lots of us take our mothers to the doctor in our private cars. Lots of us pick up our parents. Lots of people pick up their children. Lots of people drive their private cars going around the city shopping, which is feeding into the economy.
Yes, and there's no reason why a child with a board statement and a taxi service needs to skip the traffic. They can just leave 5 minutes earlier. There's no reason to do this. Letting taxis into bus lanes is not a cost-free option. It is damaging to public transport, which the rest of us need if we're going to have
any hope. Why does it happen all around Europe then, Newton?
Pardon? Well, it's a mistake, and the Department of Infrastructure has done the research and has the figures to show that.
So everybody else has got it wrong.
Presumably there have been concerted lobbying efforts in those cities too, but you might like to hope that we would do a bit better.
William McCausland, how has the taxi industry had so much influence that they've managed to convince politicians who sometimes it's very hard to get them to agree on anything, and they seem to be agreeing on this? Well,
because I think it's the general public perception that it makes common sense. It's a lot of these, you know, other people with ideas on how you know, it should work and how they'd like to see it work. But the normal person on the ground, you know, sees the taxi as being the most utilised public service vehicle on the road and understands that at the busy times, whenever there is the most demand for taxis, you know, that's the one time of the day, or the two times a day when you're going to struggle to get a cab when you need it is in the rush hour in the morning and the rush hour in the evening. That's, you know, the rest of the day you can get cabs or sitting immediately, but at that time there's a real, you know, increase in demand and the traffic slows away down.
But this is an argument for the fact that taxis are inefficient. This is an argument for taxis as an inefficient form.
Let's finish, Nelson. Let's them finish.
I didn't interrupt you once. That's the time whenever the taxis are at their most stretched and having a difficulty supplying the customers that require the vehicles. So therefore, if the taxi can move faster to get to the customer or take the customer faster to their journey, we can cover more work in the times whenever we are stretched and therefore provide a better service for the customer.
Well, maybe I can ask you a question. Will Uber be able to use these lanes?
Who are Uber? Yeah. Are they operating in Belfast?
Well, you tell me. You're the taxi specialist.
No. Well, they're really not. They're not even an issue. I think there's maybe about a half a dozen of them still operating. They operate on a Class C license.
So will they be able to use the bus lanes?
No, because they're incorrectly operating on a limousine license, but there's a negative amount of them anymore. They're really day-to-day.
So there's an actual incentive then beyond any public benefit. There's an incentive for you to achieve this from a business point of view. That if Uber or a taxi app business like that were ever to try to compete against your company or any other, they're at a disadvantage because they can't use the bus lanes and your company can. Maybe that's an incentive for you to be pushing this too.
No, well, we were pushing harder actually, and we haven't managed is to close the loophole that they are operating, because they're actually operating on a limousine license, which is completely not what it was designed for. You know, they're operating without a maximum fare. You know, they're operating with a 3x surcharge.
Well,
therefore, the most important thing is to get them operating on a proper taxi license.
Well, look, and obviously we don't know what type of license they're operating on. I don't have that knowledge, and I'm sure they would dispute some of what you're saying. However, why wouldn't you support an Uber driver if they were operating, and they would say that they do operate within the law, obviously. Presumably, you must therefore support an Uber service or anything like it that are providing the same public benefit, taking people to the hospital, taking people to the doctors, being the fourth emergency service. You must support them using that bus lane.
Oh, totally. I'm not going to support a limousine, and the limousine association aren't even asking to be allowed in the bus lanes, because a limousine license is meant to be used for an occasional service, a wedding or a funeral, or a special occasion when they're absolutely, and they don't even, like,
well,
the
limousine association
asking for it.
Yeah, a funeral is providing a vital public service. You don't want those providing a funeral service to be able to use bus lanes?
Well, I don't think the hearse would be allowed down the bus lane, because it's not operating on a license other than a public car license, so.
Jim in Belfast. Morning, Jim.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Jim.
I'm just saying here, I'm an Uber driver. For a start, with them, cause is wrong. Uber's providing the same service as any other taxi is. We are not learning the bus lanes, because he doesn't want it in the bus lanes. He's the one that's pushing it to stop it all. And he's saying that we're dying off. There's near 300 Uber drivers in Belfast at the minute.
Yeah.
So I don't know where he's getting this here from. They're dying off. And that dying off, it's growing. It's getting bigger. More and more people want to use it.
Right. Well, can I ask, is it okay to charge somebody 3x the fare or 4x the fare whenever it's busy? Is that reasonable or fair?
See, the fare
goes up by the government.
By the amount of taxis in the area. You don't have to book the taxi if you don't want the taxi. You get the option if you want the taxi. If you don't want the taxi, you don't have to take the taxi.
No, well, I mean.
So is this William McCausland? Is this actually? Hold on, Jim. One second. Is this actually one of the reasons behind this campaign, that you're trying to give your business, and look, you're a businessman, so why wouldn't you? But you're lobbying to try to give your business an advantage over in an industry where you are being challenged by the likes of Uber. Is that actually what's going on here?
Not at all. We're lobbying to get Uber to get into the proper license that they're meant to be on. This whole review of taxis was brought in to put meters in the vehicles with a maximum fare to protect the customer, and they have circumnavigated that by using a limousine license.
Stephen, can I ask a question?
I want to let Jim come back. And then, of course, you can go back. Go on, Jim.
See the meters. Your meters. Does your meters see at 12 o'clock and 8 p.m. Does your meters net go at a higher rate? Stop your drivers from disappearing.
No, they go to the maximum permitted rate that the government has set, which is allowed to go up at the weekend. So we're just...
Our fares are cheaper than your fares. Our fares are cheaper than yours. We start with £2.10. Our fares are cheaper than yours.
But at the end of the day...
It was a surge price, so the customer has the right to accept it. If you don't want to accept the surge rate, you don't accept it. And the surge only lasts a certain rate. It goes up and down. The amount of taxis in the area.
I didn't know that, actually. So do taxis here, obviously the Uber model is they put surcharges given the time of day. That's the Uber model, that the price goes up.
It's not the time of day, Stephen. It's just
busy times of the day.
If it's five cars in the area and there's 30 people looking at a car, they open the app up, the surge goes up and down.
Okay. I get that. But William McCausland, I didn't know with the likes of your taxi, so there are different rates if it's after 12 o'clock on a Saturday night, are there? Hold on, let him answer the question, Jim. Hold on. William?
Yes. The public or the Taxi Act provide a maximum tariff, and there's a daily tariff, sure. And there's a slight increase in the evenings during the week, which we don't do, and then at the weekend it goes up again. It goes up for the whole weekend, you're allowed to charge more.
Sure, and what percentage does it go up at the weekend?
It's about 30%. Ours goes up, but it's really about 20% on the normal maximum, but we don't operate the normal maximum.
When you criticise Uber for multiplying a fare in certain circumstances, you didn't reveal until we asked you that you increase a fare in certain circumstances too.
All I said is we never go over the maximum fare. There's a set government maximum fare, and we never go beyond that.
Here's one for Mr. McCausland as well, Stephen. See whenever his drivers go away on holiday or his kids are sick, they still charge them double rent while the car's sitting in the driveway.
Well, hold on a minute. No, hold on a minute. No, we're not getting into the finite details of how William Witt runs his business. He's entitled to run his business, and he's running a very experienced business which has been around for a long time. Jim, enough. I said let you come back in. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's not my understanding that Uber is operating on a limousine license. In fact, Uber is uniquely tightly regulated in Belfast. It was the only city in the world when it was launched here where you have to put an Uber sign on the roof of your taxi. The whole licensing system was rearranged to try and address concerns by the other taxi industry. It's clear that the department faces really aggressive lobbying from the existing firms that doesn't have the interests of the public at heart. I'd like to ask Jim, does he charge this surge pricing? Do his drivers charge the surge pricing when they're taking people to hospital at the weekends? I'm sure they do.
Yeah, and Jim's gone, unfortunately. Bill in Belfast. Morning, Bill. Then we've got to go to the news. Morning, Bill.
Good morning, Stephen. Just to address Newton Emerson there, referring to his mother as an old dear. I'm sure she'll be delighted with that. As an ex-bus driver of 30 years, the training Newton said that the drivers get is basic. You move out to the right when there's a driver and you're inside. So if there's push bikes in the bus lane, how can the driver move off to his right when the traffic is stacked up on his right? So I don't think bus drivers would want push bikes in the bus lane because
They've
nowhere to go. They'd rack the cars to their right.
All right. Bill, thank you very much indeed. Newton, thank you. William McCausland, thank you very much.